seconds, 2 seconds. Riddell all the way outside to Watford. Three on the way. Oh! It went in! It went in! He puts it up on the left hand. No good. Tipped up. And no good again. Batted away. Tipped into Cody. Indiana's going to win it. They win it.
Yogi Ferrell. Will he take the big shot? Bryant is trying to post. It's Yogi. It's three. Got him all!
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another episode of Podcast on the Brink, your weekly dose of Indiana University basketball news, notes, and nods to the past. I am your host, Jared Morris. Very excited to be with you here today on this episode of Podcast on the Brink. And as always, POTB is a joint production of the Assembly Call and Inside the Hall. Make sure that you go to assemblycall.com/subscribe and get on our email list, the IU Hoops newsletter. Over 2,000 IU fans are on our list. They get our post-game emails once the season starts, in addition to our Friday IU basketball news roundup that you're not going to want to miss. Again, that's assemblycall.com/subscribe. And make sure that you have insidethehall.com bookmarked if you don't already. But don't just bookmark it on your computer. Bookmark it on your mobile device, too, so that wherever you are, whenever you need a little jolt of IU basketball news, you can head over to Inside the Hall and see what Alex Bozich and the crew have cooked up for you, because there is no better place to get your IU basketball news than from Inside the Hall. All right, everybody, this is episode number 135 of Podcast on the Brink, and we dedicate this episode to the 135 rebounds that Scott May corralled in Big Ten play in 1976. And why are we making a big deal about Scott May's 1976 season? I think you all know why. Because not only did Scott help lead the Hoosiers to an undefeated 32-0 record, but he had one of the greatest individual seasons in IU basketball history that year. So not only was Scott named Big Ten MVP in 1976, he was also Big Ten MVP in 1975. And of course, a lot of us think that if he hadn't broken his arm, Indiana would have won back-to-back national titles. And in addition, he was named All-American and Player of the Year 1976. Basically, every accolade that you can get for a season Scott had. So this is from the IU press guide. Scott May became Indiana's second two-time Big Ten MVP in 1976 after a remarkable senior season. His 752 points that season set a school record and brought his career total to 1,593. His career point total ranks 11th in school history and is the best by any three-year letter winner. So, I mean, think about that. 11th in school history, and he only played for three seasons. That's unbelievable. His 308 field goals made that season still holds as the most by anyone in IU history, while his 584 field goal attempts is second most. Again, incredible. He set a school record with 9 steals against Michigan. And again, he led the Hoosiers to a 32-0 record, 18-0 in the Big Ten. And he was just remarkable. Just as he did in his junior season, he was named first-team All-Big Ten and All-America. He was named the 1976 NCAA Player of the Year. A huge tip of the cap to Scott May for that 1976 season. Overall, he averaged 23.5 points per game, 7.7 rebounds. He shot 78% from the free throw line and 52.7% from the field. Just an unbelievable season for Scott May. Scott, we tip our caps to you. And Scott was the number 2 draft pick of the Chicago Bulls after that 1976 season. And hold that thought, because we're going to talk about someone else who was drafted second coming out of Indiana here in just a minute. I do want to remind everybody, if you haven't yet gone to forum.insidethehall.com, make sure that you go there. I actually was just on the Inside the Hall forum right now, just before I recorded this, just checking in, seeing what fellow IU fans are talking about. There's a great thread here about Chris Wilkes and whether or not he will end up at Indiana or not. And it's just a great place to go have informed, reasonable conversations with fellow IU fans. Alex really does a great job of making sure. I mean, look, we all know how message board conversations can get. And sometimes they get a little emotional, a little irrational. And hey, we're fans. We're going to get a little emotional, irrational sometimes. But we've all been informed where it goes too far. And none of us want to be in conversations like that. Well, with the Inside the Hall Forum, you're not going to get that. It's the kind of conversation that you want to be a part of with the kind of IU fans that you want to be hanging out with and spending time with, because you'll learn something. And that's what's so great about the Inside the Hall Forum. I always end up learning something, gaining a little bit of insight, either from a post that Alex puts, which he doesn't put on the blog because some of those go in there, and just from the really smart fans who are in there. So go to forum.insidethehall.com. It's a premium feature of the Inside the Hall website, but I promise it'll be the best 30, 35 bucks that you spend all year as a Hoosier fan. So again, forum.insidethehall.com. All right, well, I told you to hold that thought about Scott May being a number two draft pick, because today we are going to be talking about another Hoosier who was drafted number two, and that, of course, is Victor Oladipo, who, like Scott May, played 3 years for the Hoosiers. Unfortunately, didn't win a national championship like Scott May did. But, hey, Victor was named Sporting News Player of the Year in 2013. So one of the few other Hoosiers who have had an honor such as that. He wasn't a unanimous guy like Scott May and Calvert Chaney was in 1993. But certainly Victor had a great career at IU. And now he's in the NBA, and he was the number two draft pick by the Orlando Magic, spent his first 3 years there, and this past Thursday was traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the first guy that I thought of to talk about this, because I wanted to get some insight on this trade for Victor and what it means, and is him going to Oklahoma City as good as it seems? And Zach McCright, who hosted radio shows in Oklahoma City for a couple of years, longtime friend of Alex Bozich, a guy that I've gotten to know, actually met him on a professional level outside of podcasting a couple of years ago. I've gotten to know him, a great guy. He is here to lend some insight, knows a lot about the Thunder, has some really good insight on what Kevin Durant will do, because that will obviously impact how successful Victor Oladipo's teams are able to be when he's with the Thunder, but also some great insight on how they will use Victor, how he will be able to step in into that market, how the fans will react to him. So a lot of insight from Zach. Really, really excited to have him on. You can follow him on Twitter at Big EZ. So let's get right to it. Here is our conversation with Zach McCright about Victor Oladipo heading to the Oklahoma City Thunder right now on this episode of Podcast on the Brink. And our guest on this week's episode of Podcast on the Brink is, well, he was actually the first name that came to my mind when I logged on to Twitter last Thursday during the NBA draft and saw that Victor Oladipo had been traded to Oklahoma City. And I thought, all right, I got to talk to Zach. We got to see what he thinks about this. Alex agreed. And so he's here on the podcast, Zach McCright. Zach, welcome to the show, man. It's good to talk to you.
It's good to be here. I mean, this is like a coup for me. Like I'm actually on Podcast on the Brink. I'm very excited.
Well, and there's some interesting backstory between you two guys, right? You guys go way back, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Alex and I lived across the street from each other growing up in Southern Indiana. Shout out to New Albany. And we played a lot of backcourt basketball together. Alex's best friend broke his arm on my basketball court once upon a time. It was good times had by all, for sure.
Who prevailed more often in those games between the two of you?
I don't know. Alex?
I think Zach did. He was a little bit more physical than me. He could just back me down into the paint. It was kind of like trying to guard Shaq in those days. So
it was a little more meat on the bone, I guess. Yeah.
We also played a lot of NBA Live back in the day. So there was a lot of good times growing up.
That's very probably nice. Where I got my my play-by-play chops. I just turned down the volume on NBA Live and go at it.
Very nice. Well, and so Zach, the reason why you were the obvious choice to have on here to talk about this trade of Victor to Oklahoma City and how he'll fit in is you spent how many years in Oklahoma City on the radio out there?
Two years.
Okay, so you know the Oklahoma City franchise very well, obviously, you know, very familiar with everything. And you know Victor Oladipo well as, growing up as you did, following the Hoosiers. So what was your first take when you heard about this trade?
Well, it's weird kind of how the dynamic of my mind works, because I am an IU basketball fan through and through. But I guess my media brain took over, and I was looking at it completely from an OKC standpoint. You know, I the IU fan in me hadn't quite come out yet. From an OKC standpoint, I thought it was a huge coup, and I don't say that. I think a lot of people in Oklahoma City, if they were to hear this, I'm pretty harsh as far as a critic is concerned. There's a lot of fandom. Just everybody wants you to be a huge fan of all of their local teams in Oklahoma City, which is fine. But, you know, sometimes I didn't see it that way, and maybe that was just the outsider in me. But in this particular case, look, Serge Ibaka was going to walk for nothing in 1 year. So from an Oklahoma City standpoint, he's going to become a free agent in a year. Getting anything for him would have been fine. Getting somebody who was a borderline Eastern Conference, at least borderline Eastern Conference All-Star, in return for a guy who was going to walk in 12 months because he's more of a flashy guy, likes the bright lights, likes the big cities more than Oklahoma City. And Oklahoma City was going to have to do it anyway. They couldn't re-sign him if they're going to keep Durant and Westbrook, is a huge coup, let alone a guy like Victor Oladipo and the pieces that came with him. Oladipo is much like Serge, I think, with the exception of the rim protection. Serge is one of the best rim protectors in the game, but I really did think that his stats were declining. Now, I say that, and then all of a sudden he erupted in the playoffs from a three-point shooting standpoint, which he wasn't a couple of years ago. He was the best three-point shooter in the playoffs, believe it or not. I think it was 45% during the playoffs. But he was not like that during the year. He just kind of came alive. The reason they were so effective against the Warriors, in my opinion, the Thunder, even though they lost the series, was because they could play the small ball lineup, and Serge Ibaka, who was meaningless, more or less, against the Spurs, could come in and guard 1 through 5 wherever. And they could play kind of small ball with Serge on the defensive end. Oladipo is basically the same mold, just a little shorter. I don't think he could guard a 5. Maybe he could, but he can guard 1 through 4. And this team altogether needed some better shooting. Oladipo is a smidge better from the outside than Serge Ibaka on his career. They need that. And really, the Thunder's biggest weakness, in my opinion, was at shooting guard. And Oladipo will come right in, and if he doesn't start game one, I mean, I'd be mildly surprised, but he'll be a starter by the middle of the season, in my opinion. I think it's a huge coup, and they'll still be title contenders, assuming Kevin Durant comes back.
You know, one of the other first thoughts I had when this happened is you watch an Oklahoma City game, and, you know, their fans are so into it, and it seems almost like a college atmosphere in an Oklahoma City game. I've never been there, but you kind of hear it described like that. And when you watch big games there, it feels like that. And that just seems like such a perfect fit for a guy like Victor, who, when he was at Indiana, we really saw him rise to the occasion in big moments. You know, he always seemed to play his best, you know, when Indiana really needed him the most in the biggest games on the biggest stages. And he didn't have a lot of that in Orlando. Obviously, they didn't really play a meaningful game for 3 years. How much do you think Oklahoma City fans will embrace Victor, just his personality, how he plays? How will that fit Oklahoma City?
Oh, it'll be fantastic. And you're right, Jared. I mean, I loved working in the Oklahoma City market. I moved back in Indiana at the beginning of this year, which is why I talk about Oklahoma City in the past tense. But it very much is a college atmosphere, and they bring it to the NBA. And there will be a lot of nights where it'll be a Wednesday night in the NBA in the middle of January, and the Chesapeake Arena will be full. It'll be sold out, and it'll be loud in there, especially in a close game. And Oladipo will thrive on that. And I keep on thinking in my brain, my head keeps on thinking about like an Oladipo athletic play, as he does so often. I mean, he's just so athletic, and huge slams, crazy steals, fadeaway jump shots that you're like, and how did he get that ball over that guy's head or his hand? And it's just all of those things we've become accustomed to them with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook on the team. And now you're going to have a whole nother guy who's going to do it almost just as well. I mean, I'm not going to call him Russell Westbrook in terms of talent, but he's got the same kind of athletic mold to him. If there, I mean, I hope that sounds right. You know, that I'm trying to differentiate between him as a talent and him as an athletic mold, but he really is that guy. So I expect him to do a lot of the things that incite what is basically a college crowd, because it is a college town that just happened to get an NBA team. And they treat the Thunder as such, where college football is a king there, or at least was alone on the king's throne. They treat basketball the same way, sometimes to its own detriment, where if they lose, the Thunder lose one regular season game or two regular season games in a row, let's say, it's, you know, the sky's damn near falling in Oklahoma City, because they use that same the college football mentality that every game matters. But you can also use that as a positive, where every single regular season game is going to feel just short of a playoff game. And I think Oladipo thrives, as you said, Jared, in those situations.
Zach, not to put you on the spot here, but I'm going to put you on the spot because we've talked about this before a little bit, and I know you know kind of the media scene there and kind of been around some of these guys, but I guess what's your sense on what's going to happen with Kevin Durant? Because, you know, obviously this is an exciting move for Oladipo, but if for some reason Kevin Durant is not on the Thunder next year, the outlook is a lot different. So I'm just kind of curious, you know, everyone's reporting different things at this juncture with sources, and, you know, he's going to re-sign with the Thunder. He's going to meet with six different teams. I mean, what's your gut feel on kind of how this process plays out?
Well, I will say I have always been under the assumption, based on the people that I became fairly close to inside the organization, that Kevin Durant was going to stay at least this coming year, if not for his career, but at least this coming year, for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, how many, with the understanding that wherever Kevin Durant goes, they will probably become an immediate title contender or at least close to it. How many teams are going to be as good right out of the gate while you're in your prime, if you're Kevin Durant, as the Thunder? There's just not going to be many. You know, you could count them maybe on a half a hand. So I know the Thunder, the people inside the Thunder are very confident that he'll at least be back for next year, if not longer. So I'm kind of leaning in that direction too. I mean, you're never going to get, unless you want to be, this is the big thing, unless you want to be the alpha dog, okay, and everything else kind of be damned, then I'd be shocked if he leaves. You know, you're kind of sharing the spotlight now with Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. It used to be that Kevin Durant was kind of the alpha dog here, and that's kind of changed a little bit. I mean, over the last 2 to 3 years, Russell Westbrook has most certainly become one of the most electrifying players. It kind of started with the injury to Kevin Durant. When Kevin Durant went down the previous season and was out for most of the year, Russell Westbrook kept that team afloat and had them more or less in the playoffs. They were tied with the Pelicans for the 8th spot, but they lost the tiebreaker. You know, that made Russell, I mean, Russell Westbrook was a triple-double every night without Kevin Durant. Now that they're both back, they kind of share that spotlight. So unless Kevin Durant wants the bright lights of a big city, which to me has been rendered meaningless anymore because it doesn't matter. You're on TV everywhere. You can be marketed from anywhere. It doesn't matter what city you're in. Unless he likes the big lights somewhere, or he just has to be the alpha dog somewhere, I'd be shocked if he left Oklahoma City.
As far as other moves that the Thunder might make and maybe how they'll impact Oladipo, to me it seems like Deion Waiters could be on his way out. Is that really the only other piece on the roster that really has to be resolved besides Durant that's a major contributor?
Yeah, he's a restricted free agent. Deion Waiters is, and he really had a good season, good enough to where he's going to demand some fairly big money from somewhere. And, you know, that's why, that's again another reason why I think this deal for Oklahoma City was so great. You've got a guy in Oladipo that's younger than Waiters, in my opinion, better than Waiters. And that can be argued, the whole better than, but I think he's better than Waiters. And he is under contract. I mean, the Thunder have him financially in a really good spot. They've got him for a couple of years under his rookie deal still. And so everything kind of fits. So now you can, in restricted free agency, for those who don't know how it works that listen to your podcast, restricted compared to unrestricted. When you're unrestricted, you can go anywhere for any price. In under restricted free agency, the team that you are with currently has the opportunity to match any official offer that another team gives. It happened with Enes Kanter last year. The Portland Trail Blazers offered Enes Kanter what was basically a max deal under the old salary cap, and the Thunder had no choice but to match it. You can't undercut that. You have to go ahead and offer him the same if you want to keep him. The Thunder did that. Waiters, now with Oladipo in place, now Waiters, who is basically the guy that Oladipo would be replacing, if Waiters got a qualifying offer from another spot, now the Thunder can go, man, it would surely be an overpriced contract. Now the Thunder can go, you know what? We have Victor. We're cool. Go ahead and walk. That's probably what's going to happen there. I don't think there are any other big moves that you're going to see. You're going to see some defections, but I think it'll be from the bottom of the roster because Ilyasova, one of the other pieces that came from Orlando to the Thunder, is going to get some playing time. He is another guy who is kind of a big guy, a long guy, but can also shoot. So he's probably going to take the spot of someone on the roster, perhaps, you know, at the bottom, like a Mitch McGarry or something like that. But, and I know a lot of people around this podcast are familiar with McGarry. He's part of the Thunder, and the 2-year experiment from him may be over, somebody like that. But, you know, in terms of really important pieces to this team, I think Waiters might be the only other move you see, but who knows? I mean, Sam Presti has been known to kind of keep everything to himself, and sometimes even Adrian Wojnarowski can't get his hands on some of the news that Presti throws out there before it becomes official. So you're never quite sure with him, but I'd be shocked if anything else happened, assuming Durant stays.
Switching gears just a little bit, this is another thing we've talked about because you were in the market and you experienced this firsthand, and this is one of the first things I thought about because with Victor, you know, I've covered him since he was a sophomore, junior in high school. You know, that's probably the first time I've talked to him, and he's always been outgoing, great with the media, always has a lot to say. And even, you know, thinking back to last fall when I went to talk to him, he was in Louisville at the Yum Center for a preseason game, and I saw him, and you know, he remembered me, talked to me, gave me all kinds of stuff for a story I was working on, even talking to some of the Magic beat writers. They were thrilled with how great he is with the media. And I'm not sure that most people probably haven't read the story on Grantland about the, you know, the media access and kind of how the Thunder have kind of I don't know, you maybe better to describe it, but they've kind of walled themselves off a little bit, I guess, from the media. How will that play Victor's outgoing personality? Will he kind of have to fall in line with kind of how they've done things there, or will that be a thing where he's able to continue to kind of be the guy he is, has always been with the media?
That's a good question, Alex. I one that I hadn't really considered. I always kind of thought that Mitch McGarry, who would kind of be the same guy he always was. And I always considered Mitch McGarry to be fairly outgoing with the media in college. And he kind of simmered a little bit. I tried to joke around with him a couple times in the locker room, and you know, he he was okay. It wasn't what I expected, though. So I'm not sure as far as that's concerned with Victor. I'm not, you know, when it comes to these guys, I'll give you an example. Reggie Jackson, when it comes to these guys, I don't necessarily think they're muted. It's just the access to them is sometimes very short, I guess, for lack of a better term. Reggie Jackson was with the Thunder last year, and it was no secret in Oklahoma City that he wanted out. And he would tell. I mean, he would basically say it in those terms that, you know, I don't want to be a guy coming off the bench. I deserve money. I'm a great player. And he may not have said it in those exact words, but he said it something close to that, where we all kind of got it. And so he wasn't necessarily muffled by the PR people in Oklahoma City. But I really do think what I think the difference is, and they may, so my point on that is Victor, I don't think will be muffled at all. Now that I think about it, but I think the access to the stars on the team, just the access, is something that was kind of a barrier between the media and the Thunder star players, and I think it's loosened up a little bit based on what Grantland wrote, and if you link to that story sometime this week on Twitter or something, Alex, and they can read it. I mean, it's a fascinating story, in my opinion. Of course, I was in the middle of it, but that story kind of loosened the chains a little bit. But I think the thought process, from what I've heard from the people inside the Thunder, is that it's like, look, we are not New York City. We are not Los Angeles. How do we keep our stars here? The best way to do it, the only advantage we can think of that isn't already given to them, is we're going to just shield them from having to talk to the media as much as they have to. Hey, look, and it can be a selling point. Hey, look, Russ. Hey, look, Kevin. I mean, you can go somewhere else, and I mean, the media will be down your throat every hour of every day. We can kind of control that here, and you can kind of have a life here if you want it. What do you say? You know, I think that's their thought process with how they work with their players here. But in terms of just asking questions and personality, I don't think that was ever something that the Thunder asked for anyone to change. So I think Victor can still be himself.
You know, Tom Crean's had some really interesting comments about this trade and some insight just about Victor, how he fits, and some of the struggles that he had in Orlando, which I think were pretty obvious if you followed along. You know, the changing coaches, his changing role. I mean, he came in, they tried him at point guard, then they draft Elfrid Payton. Last year, he ends up coming off the bench. Like, he just, and he did well. I mean, he's improved all three seasons without really having any type of stability, which I think shows you how talented and adaptable he is. Now he goes to Oklahoma, where there's Oklahoma City, where it seems like there's such a set pecking order, and he seems to fit in, you know, almost perfectly like a puzzle piece, because you look at it on defense, and we all saw what happened in Game 6 where Klay Thompson went off, and it certainly seems like having a guy like Victor, maybe it's not a direct reaction to that series, but it certainly seems like he's going to be a guy that can come in and play really good, tough perimeter defense on a guy like Steph Curry, on a guy like Klay Thompson. And then on the offensive end, and correct me if I'm wrong, Zach, but it seems like the biggest thing that he'll need to do to fit in is make threes. I mean, be able to make outside shots, because like you said, he's kind of stepping in and filling a bit of a role that Serge Ibaka had. And he should get more open catch-and-shoot opportunities, which he didn't have as much of in Orlando. Do you think offensively that's going to be the biggest thing for him to be able to do and an improvement to make, is to be able to more consistently make that catch and shoot three, and then on the defensive end, really be a stopper when they're going up against some of the great guards in the Western Conference?
Yes to both. Now, I'll start with defense. You know, you talked about how, you know, it might not be a direct answer or a direct response to what happened in the Golden State series, but that, you know, maybe he's the stopper for Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and guys like that. And that's, you know, maybe there is some truth to that. However, I will tell you that, I mean, you know, I'll play devil's advocate on that and go, Serge Ibaka, who was rendered useless against the San Antonio Spurs and would not see the court in any meaningful way against the Spurs in that series, all of a sudden became a huge coup against the Golden State Warriors. I mean, he was a very impactful player for the Thunder against the Warriors. He was just able to be, you know, the five man in a lot of situations, especially if Steven Adams got into foul trouble, and they did not skip too much of a beat. And now they just punted that guy. So, you know, you can look at it in both ways there. So I don't think it's necessarily a direct response to the Warriors, what the Thunder did. Not that you were implying that. But, yes, they're just looking for more of a two-way guy. Andre Robertson is a very good he's the starting two guard for the Thunder, by the way. He's a very good defensive player, very much above average. In fact, if not for his defense, he wouldn't be in the NBA, as far as I'm concerned. He is a very poor three-point shooter, basically meaningless off the dribble. So his defense was what kept him in the game, but his defense also put him in the starting lineup for the Thunder. You know, so it's very, very good. Oladipo is going to now have to be that guy, and they're going to ask him to shoot threes as well. So, yeah, when we get to the offensive side, the answer is again yes to you, Jared, where he is going to get the catch-and-shoot opportunities. There's going to be a lot that opens up thanks to the penetration ability of Russ and Kevin. So, yes, he's going to have to work on that. And, you know, just looking at his raw numbers, I didn't really look at any advanced statistics yet, but if you look at his raw numbers, he's always been just a smidge better behind the three-point line than Serge Ibaka. And if you don't guard him, you know, and this is the difference between him and Ibaka, if you don't guard him on the perimeter, or at least don't pay attention to him, he'll hit the three, but then if you do pay attention to him at three, he can go around you. Ibaka couldn't. Victor Oladipo can absolutely go around you. So it's another guy who can get to the rim on his own. And I think that's probably the most underrated aspect of this trade for the Thunder, is it's a guy who can create if asked. And they really don't – the third guy who could do that on the Thunder right now is Deion Waiters. And his percentage around the rim this year, just inside the paint, was under 45%. That's just inside the paint. And that's not very good. And I think Oladipo is much better in that regard. And I think that's probably one of the more underrated aspects of this trade for Oladipo, is he can create inside the paint.
From a big picture perspective, looking at his career, obviously this is going to help him in terms of winning and putting him in a position to play in big games, win a ring, all of that. At the same time, he is now clearly a third banana on a team that has two of the, you know, probably the five best players in the country, and so much star power, so much just wattage. Can Victor become a star in Oklahoma City? I mean, he can clearly become a winner and all of these other things, but does this at all mute his star power, or does it help? I mean, is there enough room and enough attention left over with Russell Westbrook, with Kevin Durant there, that Victor can still thrive in that way?
You know, the first thing that came to mind when you said that was James Harden. Like I thought James Harden was a star.
Yeah.
Any more, there are room, in my opinion, if you're a championship team, or at least have aspirations to be such, absolutely there is room for three stars. You know, if you look at the Golden State Warriors, LeBron James, when he went to the Heat, I mean, all of a sudden the new term was big three, and now everybody's got a big three. We all talk about big three all the time, and Oladipo can absolutely become that. So yes, I mean, I think James Harden was that guy for a long time in Oklahoma City. I think Serge Ibaka took that mantle from him, and if not for the language barrier, I think Ibaka would have been more of a star in terms of marketability and just sheer popularity in the NBA. And Oladipo can become that guy too. Now, he, to be honest with you, though, he's going to probably have to play that game with Steven Adams. I mean, Steven Adams, I think, especially in this postseason, became at least a budding star. I don't know how big his star is, but I will say this. I think the whole reason this trade is even done is because Steven Adams is now an important cog around the rim for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And you know, if not, Serge Ibaka would probably still be there, or at least they'd try to find a way to keep him. But now Steven Adams is kind of anchoring down the front court. So maybe he becomes a star. But no, I mean, anymore, if you look at the Warriors, if you look at the Cavaliers, if you look at the old Heat, you know, the San Antonio Spurs, any team worth the salt has a big three. And Victor Oladipo can certainly be that third guy on the big three.
So are they the favorites heading into next year, assuming Durant stays? Are they your title favorites?
My guess would be no. I mean, I know the Warriors kind of urinated all over themselves in the last three games of the NBA Finals, but I don't know about you guys, but I've never seen a team like that in my life, and it's going to be really tough to duplicate that. Assuming health, I'd have to give it to the Warriors. I mean, I know the whole, you know, that the report came out about the 70% thing with Curry and all that stuff, and people are hurt. Everyone's hurt when it comes to the playoffs. Maybe Curry was a little bit more hurt than he let on, and maybe he wasn't, but he obviously was not the same as he had been the last 2 years prior. And maybe if he were the same, we'd be talking about back-to-back world championships for the Golden State Warriors. So I got to see what next year is like. I mean, if I had to place a bet down and the odds were the same on both the Warriors and the Thunder, I'd probably put my money down on the Warriors, just because that trade for the Thunder is just so much of an unknown. I mean, they're going to have to change the way they play defensively. I'll give you this one little nugget before I go, and my answers have been long. I'm really sorry. But Oladipo, without the rim-protecting ability of Serge Ibaka, Oladipo is basically the same player defensively. But what the Thunder really lacked, especially in the regular season, not that it means a whole lot anymore. I mean, all it is basically home court advantage, right? But what the Thunder really lacked was defensive ability across the board, at least on the perimeter. And the reason they did that is that they knew Serge most of the time was back there and would help out in very meaningful ways. And now that guy's not there anymore. And so they're going to have to really kind of relearn defensively how to really play. I mean, that's not to say Oladipo is a downgrade. It's just that it's going to be different. And so they've really got to work that out. And so just stuff like that has just kind of got me in a wait and see kind of mode. Whereas if nothing changes, with the exception of maybe them punting Harrison Barnes, which obviously is fairly big, but he eroded in the playoffs, I'd have to still put my money on Golden State.
Hey, switching gears real quick, you obviously have paid a lot of attention to the NBA, you know, and this is a college-based show. I mean, I personally spend so much time focused on Indiana, you know, and so when a guy like Yogi goes pro and did so much in Bloomington, you know, my assumption is, well, he can go and play well in the NBA. How do you think Yogi's game will translate in the NBA?
You know, I really don't know, Jared. You know, when I think of small point guards that have made it, you know, I think of Isaiah Thomas, and I'm not talking about IU Isaiah Thomas, you know, IU Detroit Piston Isaiah Thomas. I'm thinking of the Washington guy, and it can be done. I mean, you know, these small point guards. I mean, Steph Curry, you know, they can be done, but I almost feel like with all of those guys, there has to have been a little bit of elevation at the rim, a little bit of a physical nature at the rim, unless you can heave 3-point shots from 35 feet. And that's where I'm just like, man, can Yogi do it? I'm really not sure. you know, defensively, I think he'll, you know, he'll, it'll be a challenge for him against other point guards in the league, especially in a pick and roll game. If he has to switch off, if they ever do switching, which is now becoming a big thing, in the NBA now, thanks to the Warriors, where you're just going to have to switch and hope for the best. You know, what can he do there? But, there's no doubt in my mind that offensively, from a ball handling point guard standpoint, he can do it. I just need to know how much he can score if he's got a guy up in his face all the time. When he penetrates, will he be able to score then? Like, that's where I think the point guard has to be great. If somebody's going to be up in your grill on the perimeter, can you go around them and find a way to score or find a way to get the ball to someone who can? And that'll be the question mark for Yogi, in my opinion. You know, Steph Curry can do that at his height because they have to pay so much attention to him on the three-point line. You know, Isaiah Thomas can do that because he can go to the rim. He can score. Can Yogi do that? I think that offensively, that's the big question mark for him. But I'm very excited to watch him try it out in Summer League for sure.
The good thing for Yogi, I think, is if he's going to make the NBA, this is probably going to be his best chance because the franchise that he just signed with is depleted of point guards and is also perpetually awful, Brooklyn. So I think he's going to have a chance to make it there, not only based on his talent, but on the circumstances. Zach, also wanted to get your thoughts on Troy. To me, my personal opinion, looking back at his decision to go pro, you know, it's hard to fault a guy for chasing his dreams. You just wonder if, you know, if he's ever going to have any type of career in the NBA. And, you know, maybe this move was more just about him going ahead and, you know, becoming a professional, whether that be in the D League or in Europe. So any thoughts on Troy's decision and whether he has a chance to make Phoenix his roster?
You know, Troy has always been an interesting guy for me just to watch with others because I have, as I'm sure most of your listeners do and your readers, I have a group of friends that I'm on a text chain with, and we're all diehard IU fans. And it's just funny, the love-hate relationship that they all have with Troy. I mean, almost every one of them. That they all have with Troy to the point where it's like, you know, I mean, I had heard this from one of the guys on my text chain. It's like, well, you know, who cares where Troy goes? Like, it matters. Come on, you know, who cares? You know, let's move on. And I'm like, you know, I know there was good Troy and bad Troy. I mean, I get it. And bad Troy was bad, but good Troy was really, really good. Like, I mean, I always marvel at the, he should have stayed. How dare, and all that stuff. And then those same people that say he should have stayed, see, I knew he should have stayed. Those same people would get so mad at him during the season or vice versa. Like, he should go. And then it's like, well, okay, he should go. Okay, well, then he didn't get drafted. Well, I don't care. It matters. He's terrible. Like, well, then why should he have gone? You know, so it's just so weird with the love-hate relationship with Troy. He's obviously got the build. You'll always have a chance at 6'7", and you'll always have a chance if you can shoot. And while Troy was a streaky shooter, I think all those things are possible with him. He's going to have to shoot better, but when you're that height and you've got a chance to shoot well, you're going to have a shot. And so I admire what Troy did for the Hoosiers. I really did like him. I wish he would have stayed just from a selfish standpoint, because I think he would have made this team better next year. But, I wish him the best. And when you're 6'7" and at least have a shot at being an okay shooter, you're going to have a shot. And so I think he's going to have a shot with Phoenix, and we'll see what happens.
Last question for you, Zach. Looking ahead to the players on next year's Indiana team, let's say that Sam Presti were to call you and maybe ask your advice as they're putting together their draft board, and he asks you, okay, who should we have higher on our board, Thomas Bryant or OG Anunoby? How would you advise him? Whose NBA stock are you buying more?
That's tough. I'd probably go Anunoby. OG, as you guys are obviously aware, I'm not the first person to make this comparison, but he is kind of a Victor Oladipo. And I'm always going to shy away when it pertains to the NBA anymore. I'm always going to shy away from the big men. And I know that Thomas Bryant is more than just a back to the basket guy. So I don't want to be looked at here as a guy who is misinterpreting what kind of NBA player Thomas Bryant could be. He's going to be a good one in my opinion, but I'm going to take athleticism every single time. I mean, I just am. And OG's got more of that. So I would take OG. I think Sam Presti, if you watch the Thunder next year, if you watch any NBA next year, I want you, and people can tag me on a tweet if they see another team, or they can think of one right now that'll be more athletic than the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's why I think Sam Presti, he wouldn't need my advice, because I would tell him the exact same thing that he would already be thinking, and that is go for the athleticism. And OG, in my opinion, is probably one of the more athletic players in all of college basketball, let alone the Hoosiers. So I think OG will be that guy. So I would take OG for now. But, man, Thomas Bryant, I will say this about Thomas Bryant. I was very low on him to start the season. I was like, where is all this hype coming from? Everybody, Maui and all that stuff. I'm like, everybody can get the hell out of here with Thomas Bryant and all of this hoopla. Get out of here. And I mean, he totally changed my mind. So huge personal apologies to him if he's listening. He is great and he totally changed my mind, but I would probably have to take OG.
Dominant NCAA tournament performances against Kentucky will do that.
Yes, it will. I mean, where you've got John Calipari wishing that Thomas Bryant was on his team. Yes, that absolutely does change things. He was fantastic.
Yes. Well, Zach, this has been wonderful, man. Thanks for coming on, sharing your insight. We're going to have you on here again more now that you're back in the Hoosier State and focusing more on Indiana. So,
I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to come on with you guys anytime. I'm huge fans of the podcast and the site. And you know I love you guys, so anytime.
And if you, like me, are going to become a big Oklahoma City fan, make sure that you're following Zach on Twitter at Big EZ, because he still tweets out plenty of good insight about the Thunder, so he's a good follow. That and also Indiana stuff and just your other fun tweets that you put out there. So follow at Big EZ on Twitter. All right, Zach, thank you very much. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.